إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. There are some moments when the Khatib is trying to find a subject to talk about, and there are some moments when there is too many issues to choose from. This Jum'ah happens to be one of the latter type. We have the issue of Palestine. There's the issue of the Muslims in India. There's the issue of the sentencing of the callers to Islam in Libya. There is the sentencing of Jamil Amin. And then today is the first day in the new Hijrah year of 1423. We'll start inshallah ta'ala with the most pressing and important issue of these all, and that is the issue of Palestine. We all know the brutality that the Palestinian people have been faced with, the killing that has been going on in their ranks, the rounding up of refugee camps, the invasion and occupation of whole cities, the abuse of human rights, not only to the Palestinian people, but add to that, journalists were shot at. And all of this is happening with a very fast pace. The first thing that we need to recognize and realize is that we need to look into the extreme suffering that the Palestinian people are going through in their fight for freedom and liberation. The suffering that they are going through, the extreme hardships that they are living in, and one needs to recognize the legendary patience and perseverance that these people are showing. The response of our Muslim brothers and sisters in Palestine is truly legendary. For people to go through this for 50 years, 50 years of humiliation, of oppression, repression, of all different and innovative forms of abuse, nevertheless, they are still patient, they are still holding ground, and they are refusing to leave their homeland, and they are continuing in their resistance. This is something that is a miracle. And it needs to be recognized. And we need to make dua for them. Add to that, they are fighting for a legitimate cause, and the whole world is trying to cover that up and accuse the one who is victim of being the aggressor. And that is an added psychological insult to them. When people are fighting, as we have seen in the past, they usually get some moral support from the outside world, from people who sympathize for their cause. However, in this case, the Palestinian people have been receiving very little. Why? Because the ones who should be on their side are putting them down. And that is the Muslim Ummah. But it needs to be said that what they are doing will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not by us. The second thing, and I'm skipping this point, number one, even though there's so much to be said, so many stories, but we don't want to keep on whining about what is happening. Inshallah, you will have the resources to do that on yourself. Obviously, you cannot depend on the US media for that. You're going to have to do some digging. But even though truth is a very scarce commodity, all the time the supply has been in excess of the demand. Whoever wants the truth can uncover it and find it. The second point. There is a trend that is noticeable now to present the issue as if it is an issue of the Palestinian people alone and the Israeli people alone, as if it has no connections to Islam, Judaism, or Christianity. As if it is a war over land, as if it is a nationalistic fight, and that is very dangerous. But we find that there are people on both sides, on the Palestinian or Arab side, and also on the Jewish or Christian side, who are attempting to present it in this way. Now, it's obvious why the Israelis would want to present this as a Palestinian-only issue, because they do not want to instigate the whole Islamic nation into this affair. And the same also holds true for many of the Western powers. They do not want to be perceived as enemies of Islam. But then on the other side, on the Palestinian side, and also on the Arab side, and many of the Muslims too, are trying to present this as if it is only a human rights issue. It's an issue of a people that have been stripped away from their land and their rights have been abused. And the reason why they are doing this is because they do not want to alienate the Jews and Christians or other religious groups who are sympathetic for the cause. Because remember that there are many Jews who are against Zionism, and there are many Jews who are against what the State of Israel is doing. And there are many Christians who have the same feeling. So we have some of our Islamic leaders are presenting this as a human rights issue. They don't want to present any religious tie to what's happening in order not to alienate the others. But what is happening in the process is that this is alienating the most important audience, and that is the Muslim Ummah. This is not an issue of Palestinians alone, and it's not an Arab issue. At the root of all what is happening is religion on both sides. This Palestine and Jerusalem is holy to us because Allah says so in the Quran. And it is important to us because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said so. And the same can be said about the Jews too. I mean, an American Jew or a European Jew, what would make them so attached to that land except that they are citing passages from the Bible for that? And just a few days ago we had a US senator saying that our support of Israel is our duty, our religious duty, because we are doing God's work. And that is how it is viewed. So religion has a lot to do with what is happening. And it cannot be separated from this affair. And this is a promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to this ummah, and religion cannot be separated. Now I'm saying this because many times we see these statements coming out that are very secular. And Islam is nowhere in there. This is an Islamic cause. It is not an Arab nationalistic cause, and it is not the cause of the Palestinian people. This is an Islamic issue. And it needs to be dear and important to every Muslim around the world. And for those who are attempting not to alienate others, so that one day they would get the support of the White House or the United Nations, We need to realize that this issue will not be solved by the United States. It will not be solved by the UN. It will not be solved by John Sixpack or Sally Fatima. This is an issue that will only be solved by the Muslim Ummah. This is an Islamic issue, and we need to wake up to the reality of what is happening there. And it needs to be an interest of every Muslim. And I'm saying this because many times we see that there are some Muslims that don't feel connected to what is happening there. Remember that Jerusalem is the land of my prophets and your prophets. This is the land of Musa. It's the land of Isa. It's the land where Ibrahim alayhi salam, even though he's not from Palestine, but that is where he chose to settle. And that is where Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to lead all of the Anbiya in Salah, to symbolize that he is now the leader and the inheritor of the true message. In Rihlat al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led a Salah in which all of the Anbiya were praying behind him. He led them in a 2-raka'a Salah. Number 3. The relationship between Muslims and Jews goes back 1400 years ago. It's not a new relationship. The way the Muslims approach this relationship is with open heart, tolerance, and a spirit of cooperation. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Medina, he had agreements with the Jewish tribes who were settling in Medina. It's very clear from these agreements that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was treating the Jewish tribes of Medina as partners and equal citizens of the Islamic State. And one can go through this agreement. Throughout history, the Muslims continued with this spirit of relationship with al-Yahud because we consider them to be people of the book. Whenever Islam entered into a country or a nation where Yahud were living, Islam welcomed them and gave them their rights. Not only that, but Jews from other nations, when they were persecuted by Christians or others, they chose to settle in the Muslim world because they knew that the Muslims are welcoming and generous. But unfortunately, it has been a relationship from one side. This generosity and this welcoming and this tolerance that came from the side of the Muslims was met by sabotage, by wickedness. They plotted to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than once. And every time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would expose their plans. The one who tried to mobilize the Arabian tribes into fighting Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the one who was the dynamo and the mover of the coalition of Al-Ahzab was a Yahudi. And then the one who caused the greatest fitna among the Ummah after the death of Uthman, who carried the rumors and caused all of the wars and fitna that came after that, was Abdullah ibn Sabah, a Yahudi. The one who was instrumental in bringing down Al-Khilaf al-Uthmaniyya was a Yahudi, and turning it into a secular state, Turkey, and stripping it of its magnificence, where it was the ruling and the superpower of the Muslim world. And if you look today in America, which is a predominantly Christian nation, and you see who are the ones who are leading the onslaught against the Muslims in this country, you could go through the names and look at their origins. Stephen Emerson, Daniel Pipes, Bernard Lewis, and the list goes on and on. The tolerance that we have been treating the people of the book, al-Yahud, this is the reciprocal relationship that we get from them. And now we are seeing how they are treating us in Palestine. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَتْبَدَتِ الْبَغْضَاءُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَمَا تُخْفِي صُدُورُهُمْ أَعْظَمُ. This is the hatred that comes out of their mouths, and what they conceal in their hearts is greater. And now we hear about all of the hate that the Muslims are teaching. SubhanAllah, who is teaching hate? And who's hating who? When the Yahudi, the Israeli soldiers in 89, and this has been reported in the Jerusalem Post and the Independent, they have went into a Muslim school in Palestine. They have taken all of the copies of the Quran, they have taken them with them to the restrooms, used them as toilet paper in the school in front of the Muslims, and then they desecrated the whole school with pages of the Quran. This is the hatred. Can we ever cite in the history of the Muslims any Muslim who treated the Bible in this way? Can there be any Muslim who would speak against Musa, one of the Anbiya, in this horrible way? And look at the rumors that they're coming up with about the Quran and about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, pure hate. And I read to you before, the National Geographic photographer, when he went into the Masjid al-Aqsa, and he saw that there was an Israeli commander commanding his soldiers to shoot at children and to shoot at youth in the Masjid. And then he saw a young Israeli soldier, a woman. She was arguing with the commander, and then she just collapsed and cried. He thought that she's crying because the commander is telling her to shoot at kids. He went to investigate the matter, and he found out that this Israeli soldier, woman, female, she was arguing with the commander. She wanted to get permission from him to shoot a child that was standing in front of her. And when he refused, she argued with him. And when he insisted on his refusal, she sat down and cried. This is hate. The Muslims are extending the hand. As a Muslim, we cannot be anti-Semitism. We cannot be anti-Semitism. We're not allowed to discriminate against anyone. As Muslims, we cannot have arrogance against anyone. As Muslims, we cannot treat anyone with brutality. But these are our standards, and we would hope that others would deal with us with these same standards. What is happening in Palestine will expose many of the lies that are going on around us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ahl al-kitab, لِمَ تَلْبِسُونَ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَتَكْتُمُونَ الْحَقَّ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. O people of the book, why do you mix truth with falsehood? And you cover up the truth, and you know the truth. The truth will come out, and it will prevail in the end. Dear brothers and sisters, we want you to support this cause as much as you can. This is your cause, and it will determine the fate of the world. This is the Holy Land, and Allah's eye is watching it. It's not like any other dispute or any other conflict. It is very important. The second issue, our Muslim brothers in India, 700 have been killed. So we have now, on the peripherals of the Muslim Ummah, conflicts all over. Chechnya, Kashmir and India, the Philippines, Palestine. So it's a circle. And then within the Muslim Ummah, in the heartland of the Muslim Ummah, you have oppression. Just recently, the government of Libya has sentenced Dua. Their crime was that they are propagating Islam. This was the crime. Two of them have been sentenced to death, 73, life in prison, and then various other punishments. And this is happening to our brothers in a Muslim country, so-called Muslim country. They also need your help, and there will be a flyer outside, and we urge you to take action. And then Jamil Amin, one of the leaders of Islamic Work in America, and he was a leader among the civil rights movement in this country. He chose Islam when he was in jail. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened his heart to Islam. Allah chose him to give him this message, and it changed his life. And he became a leader of a very large Islamic community in Georgia. He was accused of killing a police officer. The evidence was not exclusive. The defense brought up some very strong arguments, but then the jury decided that he is guilty, and they sentenced him to life in jail without parole. I think this sends a very important message to us, that it will be very difficult for us from now on to get a fair trial in this country. Why? Because the American public has been brainwashed when it comes to Islam. It has been poisoned. The media, which is controlled by pro-Israeli elements, is filtering out anything that is pro-Islamic or pro-Palestinian. It's all filtered out. And by the way, if you heard the tapes, the Nixon tapes in 72, a conversation between the well-known and famous Christian evangelist Billy Graham and President Nixon, Billy Graham was complaining to the president and telling him that the Jews have a stranglehold over the media. The president told him, "Do you think so?" He said, "Yes, I do." The president said, "And I agree, but I cannot say so. Not only do they control the media, but the president says I cannot do anything about it." And the tapes came out. What was the response of Billy Graham? Obviously, he apologized. And they are poisoning the public. So how can you expect the jury to give you a fair trial when the media is controlling the mindset of the society around you? And again, Al-Yahud are carrying the burden of that. I think that it's a matter of faith, at least for myself, that I should believe that Jamil Amin is innocent, because that is what he said. He said he was innocent, and I believe him, unless there is exclusive evidence otherwise. And I think that now it will be very easy to implicate Muslim leaders in this country or worldwide because of the control that is being used against us. This is the new Hijrah year, 1423. It is time for us to reflect on the past year, and it's also time for us to plan ahead, to start with the end on mind. A Muslim needs to reflect. This is not a moment of celebration, but it's a moment of reflection. We need to reflect on what we did the past year. And we need to look into our sins and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar ibn Khattab says, "Hasibu anfusakum qabla an tuhasabu, wazinu a'malakum qabla an tuzana lakum." Hold yourself accountable before you're held accountable, and weigh your sins before they are weighed for you. Let's look at what we have done. Don't forget it, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't forget it. Everything is written down. وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ أَتَيْنَا بِهَا وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ. Even if it's the equivalent of a grain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring it and place it on the scale. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ خَيْرًا مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. If you do an equivalent of one single atom of good, you will be rewarded, and one single atom of evil, you will be held accountable for it. So let's hold ourselves accountable for the past year. And then let's plan ahead. We cannot afford to be a heedless ummah. The greatest disease is ghafla. وَأَنذِرْهُمْ يَوْمَ الْحَسْرَةِ إِذْ قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ وَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. We cannot be in ghafla. We need to wake up. And you have to know what you want to do, what your objective is. A Muslim cannot just live for the sake of living and make it through the day. That's not appropriate for a Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that that is the style of cattle, not human beings. إِنْهُمْ إِلَّا كَلَنَعَانِ بَلْهُمْ أَضَلُ. The ones who do not think, do not hear, and do not see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said they are like cattle, but then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, nay, they are even worse. Because we can't expect more from cattle. We have to know what we want. What is it exactly that you're going to do for the religion of Allah? Plan ahead. Don't let your time be controlled by your whims or by shaitan. You have to know exactly what you're going to do the next year. Am I going to give sadaqah? Am I going to fast to Allah Ta'ala? Am I going to make khatm of Quran? What am I going to learn? What is my objective? What is my eventual objective in life? What do I want to achieve? And at the top of your priority list should be haqq Allah, the right and the obligations that you have towards Allah. And then what comes next is your family and yourself. But don't have this list upside down. Allah needs to come first. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to the truth. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give support to our brothers in Palestine, the ones who are on the forefront, and the ones who will lead the ummah on this. It is expected from the brothers and sisters in Palestine that they would lead the ummah in this. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting them through this for a purpose. They are going through this for a purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preparing them. this hardship is eventually going to make them purified and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them victory. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give the Muslim minorities in India and in Kashmir and Chechnya, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them his blessing and his support. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد, words remain words unless they are acted upon and implemented. Watching the news is very depressing. For a Muslim, even if you're listening to it with the CNN or ABC spin, it is still depressing. And it puts a lot of people in an inactive mode. They just give up. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, only the one who has lost faith in Allah gives up. A mu'min, a believer, never gives up from the mercy of Allah. So we have to take action. Number one, we want you to give. To give for your brothers in Palestine. Even though this was not planned ahead, even though the masjid is in great need of donations this week, we are devoting the donations of this week to go to Palestine. Because they are in greater need. Therefore, we urge you to give as much as we can. And we are dealing with legitimate organizations that are going to take the money to the appropriate sources. Number two, the situation in Libya also needs some of your assistance. Number three, we should never belittle the role of personal ibadah in improving the situation of the ummah. Never belittle the role of dua, the role of salah, the role of having an Islamic conduct in yourself. Believe it or not, that will help the others. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds this ummah to a standard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Bani Israel were the chosen people. Ya Bani Israel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَفَضَّلَكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah has chose you over the world. Allah chose them because of their conduct. When they are the followers of the Anbiya, they were the best in the world. But when they thought that this special relationship between them and Allah is because of their ethnicity, because of their race, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them that's not the reason. The reason why you were special is because of your righteousness. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The most the best among you and noblest in the eyes of Allah are the ones who have taqwa. So Allah holds this ummah to a standard of taqwa. Your name doesn't matter, your ethnic background doesn't matter, the language that you speak doesn't matter, the fact that you just come to the masjid might be irrelevant if it doesn't have the spirit of ibadah in it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed to us the solution. وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. If you have taqwa, Allah will find a way out for you. So rather than depending on the creation to solve our problems, and subhanAllah, look at our choice, we only will choose sometimes the worst of the creation to depend on in solving our issues. We need to be devoting our time and concentrating our efforts on asking Allah for help. And then doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. Also, don't forget what is going on in India, even though it's on the back burner in terms of the news. You need to follow up on what is happening there. Finally, an announcement for the security, dear brothers. Inshallah ta'ala, we might be having 3 Jum'ah prayers. Because of the huge numbers, we might have to have 3 Salah of Jum'ah. We'll announce to you, inshallah, the time of the first Jum'ah. It will be before this one. We also are in need of security volunteers. And we need some consistent volunteers to control the security. So please, brothers, if you have some time, a few hours to give, please sign up at the office, sign your names, if you are willing to give this time for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, we also urge you to leave peacefully and as fast as possible, since the county are here, and this is all part of the monitoring of Dar al-Hijra due to the huge crowds that the masjid attracts. On one way it is maybe a harm, but also on the other side it's a good sign. It's a good sign of the vitality of the ummah in this area. It's a good sign of the attachment of the Muslims to the masjid. I was just talking the day before with a non-Muslim about how with other ethnic communities you would have an ethnic community centered around or attracted to a business district. So you'd have Chinatown is surrounding a predominantly Chinese business district. And you would have the same with a Vietnamese or a Laos town. It would be centered around a business district. With the Muslims in America, it's different. The concentration is around masjid. Muslims come and they settle and they live wherever a masjid is. The apartment buildings in the area, the houses in the area are filled with Muslims. You don't find a Muslim business district here that is attracting the Muslim. It is the masjid that is attracting the Muslim community. And that is something unique to our community. You find that worship places for every other religion are empty except on the weekends. Masajid, 4 o'clock in the morning, you have lines outside to salat al-fajr. And that is a sign of the revival in the ummah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless it even further. Allahumma ya Allah al-wahid al-ahad al-samad alladhi lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad يا حي يا قيوم يا ذا الجمال والكمال والإكرام اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل اللهم يا الله يا ذا الجمال والكمال والإكرام أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والمشركين أعداءك وأعداء الدين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل الدين اللهم انصر إخواننا في فلسطين اللهم انصرهم وثبت أقدامهم وأفرغ عليهم صبرا وانصرهم على عدوهم وعدوك يا أرحم الراحمين ونجعلك اللهم في نحور أعدائهم اللهم زلزل الأرض من تحت أقدامهم اللهم شتت شملهم وفرق جمعهم واجمع على الحق أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اجمعنا على كلمة لا إله إلا الله اللهم لا تدع لنا في مجلسنا هذا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا مبتلا إلا عافيته ولا أيما إلا زوجته ولا أسيرا إلا فرجت همه ولا عقيما إلا ذرية صالحة وهبتها ورزقتها برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم فك الأسرى عن إخواننا في العراق اللهم فك أسرى المأسورين من إخواننا في ليبيا اللهم اطف بجميع أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم كن معهم يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم أبرم لهذه الأمة أمر رشد يعز فيه أهل طاعتك ويذل فيه أهل معصيتك ويؤمر فيه بالمعروف وينهى فيه عن المنكر يا ذا الجمال والكمال والإكرام إنك على كل شيء قدير اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق وأعمالنا من الرياء وألسنتنا من الكذب وأعيننا من الخيانة اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الهم والحزن ونعوذ بك من العجز والكسل ونعوذ بك من الجبن والبخل ونعوذ بك من غلبة الدين وقهر الرجال ونعوذ بك من قلب لا يخشى ونعوذ بك من عين لا تدمع ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا ووالدينا عذاب القبر والنار يا عزيز يا غفار إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون ما قم الصلاة